Where could I go from thy spirit? Where could I flee from thy face? I praise thee for the awful wonder of my birth. Thy work is wonderful, for thou didst form my being, didst weave me in my mother's womb. Thou knowest all about my soul. My body is no mystery to thee. Psalms 139:14-15. Showing definitely that the prophet knew clearly that there could be no separation at all from the Father. He talks to the Father. But these words are relative. In his mind, he knew that he could not be separated from God because he was alive and living. But nevertheless, when we know the truth, we begin to see what was in the prophet's mind. We create ideas in the inner realm, and their power is according to the nature that we attribute to them. Fear of an idea on our part causes it to condense. It begins to condense and express itself. Because the self is the creator of the idea. But as long as the self can free itself from the idea, then there is no harm done. But when the self is caught up in fear with reference to the idea, then there the trouble begins. Then we identify it with what we believe to be real, with all its horrible characteristics held in the mind. If we could only understand what we are doing, we will see that the only power it has is the power we give to it. Matter does not create, for there is no power or action in matter by itself. By our ignorance, we have closed our eyes to the creative power within ourselves, in which lies the cause of every effect visible in the natural world. Now we will say, where is your creative power? Creative power is within man himself, the livingness in you is the creativeness in you. I am the truth, because there is nothing else but the truth. I cannot be anything else but the truth, the whole truth, because there is no divisibility in truth. Therefore, the creative power of God must be in man. And it's his livingness, his consciousness, his awareness of this fact enables him to create. But if he will lose himself, that is to say, he will first of all find himself, then after finding himself, he must lose himself. Because the self is behind all error. The self is caught up in fear, ideas, beliefs. The self creates the belief, idea is caught up in. The self is the cause of the error. Not until such time as the self recognizes the ways of the self can it be understood, and the error then eliminated. But the creativeness is in the self, because it is the expression of the infinite self. And there is only one self, that is the infinite self. Now the self is an illusion. Therefore, when you recognize that the self is an illusion, you see it for what it is, then it dissolves away and that which is real takes its place. God manifests himself as he did in Jesus the Christ. By understanding ourselves, we will know that we have our happiness or misery in our hands. And much of the suffering of the world will be done away with. It is a general conception But the cause of disease lies in the body. But Jesus shows that this is not true. We have set up standards of right and wrong with regard to health, with regard to other things in the world in general. When our belief embraces these things, we ignorantly sustain them because we fail to understand ourselves. So we set up standards of belief. But a belief is not reality. No matter what you believe, it is not reality. A belief is but an idea in the mind. Reality is the livingness that's speaking now. Spirit alone can speak. Spirit alone has voice. I am the voice of the Spirit. There can be nothing else but the Spirit behind this voice. Therefore, my voice is the voice of the Spirit. The Spirit talks. There's no other such thing in the universe can talk but the Spirit. The Spirit alone of God has voice. That's why Jesus knew these words were the words of God. I do not speak of my own accord, it's the Father within me. Happiness is not dependent upon the external, but lies within us. We fail to see that the effects which bring about our unhappiness is from a wrong direction given to the mind. We have opinions, thoughts, and beliefs, but all these can be changed. But that which is eternal can never be changed. That which is behind all creation can never be changed. It is timeless, changeless. It is into this state that one must go to find that peace and power of the Christ. It is when the mind is still and when all beliefs and ideas are eliminated or dissolved away, then that which is real will take its place. Intellectualisms are a hindrance to the expression of the truth. Man's intellectual knowledge very often hinders the expression of the truth, because all he knows is an intellectual knowing of the truth. But that is not the truth. That is not the truth that Christ taught his disciples. It is not the truth that I am trying to show to you. Peace alone brings this. What we really know, we have no opinion about. This knowing can only come when we thoroughly understand ourselves. If we do not understand ourselves, we shall not understand anything else, for the root of understanding lies within ourselves. In understanding myself, I must understand my relationship with others, with the world, for in me, as in everyone else, is the whole. I am the result of the whole. I praise thee for the awful wonder of my birth. Thou knowest all about my soul. My body is no mystery to thee. I am not separate from life. It cannot be. I am alive and living. And that living will be eternal. This is the feeling and knowing that you get after you discern all that which is false. Everybody is living in a belief, in an idea. You, most people, are living in an idea of Christ. And they have put him so far away they can never reach him. They're living in a belief what they are told, because they have never thought for themselves. I have thought for myself. Deep thinking. Years of it. trying to understand that which is false, then I found that which is true. It's the way every person must go. There is no other way. You may try to escape this and escape that, but you can't. This is the reality that we have no opinion about, no doubts about. The recognition and understanding of this fact will bring about the necessary and vital change in the individual first, and then in the world, for the world is what we are. We are the world. Our ideas, our beliefs is the world. Our antagonism, our separations, that is the world. Is not the state and society what we are in thought field? World is but the projection of ourselves. Without us, the world is not. What we are, the world is. The state is, society is. When we are brutal, perverse, exclusive, greedy, envious, we live in separation, so we create in body and circumstances just what we are. There is no denying this fact. The study of oneself is by no means easy. It requires alertness and keen observation of every thought, feeling, an understanding of our motives, and what our feelings are towards others. Therefore, it is a constant alertness to be keenly aware of our thinking, to note which way our thinking is going, to observe whether we're caught up in a belief, to observe whether we are imitating, to observe if we're only perpetuating the idea of another, to observe if we have any antagonisms against another individual or nation. We've got to observe all these things, and it means a complete and eternal leftness, because you are surrounded with falseness. You must discern this falseness, otherwise you'll be caught up in it, and you only increase the misery in the world. Our subjective self has taken years to build, and most of our motives are hidden behind a series of misconceptions. There is a whirl of activity, an inward confusion, torn by conflicting desires. We deny, we assert, we praise, we condemn. We are in a constant state of contradiction, and we think that our actions are the positive action of our beliefs. As a matter of fact, our actions is nothing more than the expression of our contradictions. For instance, you want peace, yet you create war. You want happiness, and you create sorrow. You're told by a religious organization, thou shalt not kill, but you find a means to excuse yourself when the state tells you to kill. And the very organization that tells you not to kill will bless the implements that are created to kill. So you're living in a world of contradictions. And you say you're thinking. You're no more thinking than that table is thinking. It is when you truly think you'll discern that which is false, because you'll be constantly aware and watchful of the things that surround you, the falseness that surround you, so that you'll not be caught up in them. I can imagine Jesus showing the disciples how they were caught up in the various things, and how he drew them out of the world, as he says, I've taken you out of the world. We must slow down the thought feeling like a slow motion picture to see what is happening on the surface. Then we can study the movements of our mind. Slow down the action of your thinking. Don't allow yourself to be caught up in every move and every idea that a person expresses. There is no difference between any particular organization, no matter what it is, that creates separation in the world. Every organization that creates separation between man and man is false, because it's not unity according to the divine plan. Therefore, one political party is just as bad as the other. One particular organized religion is just as bad as the other. Anything that creates separation between man and man is a lie, and those who create it are liars from the beginning. Christ is the only living truth. Christ dwells in you and me. To merely control our thought feeling, to merely apply a brake to it, to merely say that this is wrong and that is right is a waste of precious time and effort. If we are merely engaged in controlling our thought feeling, there can be no understanding of it. So it is not a matter of merely controlling our thought feeling, but to understand it. To merely say that this is right and this is wrong, you don't know what you're talking about. You're living in a world of contradiction. In spirit, there is only right. God created everything, and he said it was good. There could be nothing else. Man creates these ideas. The tree of knowledge of good and evil grows in man. The tree of life grows out of God. Out of man's mind grows the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life alone that lives is God. Most of you have found that your mind wants no thought feeling has ever finished. Just to control this wandering, to restrain it instead of examining it and understanding it, only makes you more petty, narrow, and thoughtless. It is the broad mind that sees these things. Controlling your mind is contraction. Understanding your mind is expansion. The mind has to slow itself down. If you use force, you only create more opposition. But as you discern every thought feeling, without restraint, without comparison, without judgment, of right or wrong, letting go completely of what the mind is made of, you will become aware of that which is unchanging. You become aware of that which is significant, that which is real. Then follow this up with awareness of the self, not as a separate self, but as the whole. This will lead to freedom from mental confusion, beliefs, opinions, and separation. You will begin to know, you will understand yourself. So you will find this, that once you slow down the mind, you will watch its progress. You will be, as it were, an examiner, a judge, not judging every thought whether it's right or wrong or making comparisons, but looking at it without comparison, without in any way being caught up in these things, immediately you begin to compare a thing, you have lost yourself in it. Immediately you begin to say this is right and that's wrong, you've lost yourself in it. But if you then slow the mind down, or the mind is slowed down because you say that it will do so, it will do so. So you watch carefully the thoughts that pass before you. Undisturbed, no matter what rises to the surface of the past, something that may have happened to you or you did, whatever the case may be, that you have shrunk from in the past. There must be no emotional reaction to that thing, otherwise you're caught up in it. You must see it exactly as it is as a picture on the screen. Then you will begin to discern the self and the movements of the mind. You'll be able to see that these things are nothing at all. Then you'll become aware of something. The self that's looking, seeing, understanding. When the self is then understood, when you become aware of the self, then it must be the denial of the self. Because the self is the cause of every thought, every emotion, everything that troubles you in your life, the self is the cause. You are the one that reacted to it. The self is the one, the self is the error. Error in the mind is nothing. It's when the self is caught up in these things. This is why Jesus said, yes, you must forsake your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, and your children, and even your own life before you can become a disciple of mine. Showing that there can be no separation. If you are living in a world in your mind, you are separated. Alone and in your aloneness, can you reach this simplicity, this understanding? In your aloneness, this is being religious in the fundamental sense of the word. Not dependent on any particular organized religion, for this will make you irreligious, which leads you to separation through your belief. You will be responsible for separation, which is the cause of dissension, economic disasters, war, starvation, and oppression. Looking back only a few years ago, we can see what happened in the Spanish Inquisition. People were burnt at the stake. That horrible death. And the people who did it, so-called, believe in Jesus Christ, who said, love your neighbor as yourself. How these people were caught up in their belief. How they caught up in separation and dogmas. We're seeing it today. We're seeing the movements backwards and forwards of an army pushing this way and another one pushing that way. For what? What are you fighting for? Not for Christ. Christ isn't required to be fought for. He is the eternal, only begotten Son of the Father, that lives eternally with the Father, and the Father with Him. What you're fighting for is false value. Because you do not understand. In my last lecture, I asked you not to label yourselves with names, for are you not followers of the one life? That is in all, understanding him who showed mercy and compassion to all, who refused to be limited by any nation, church or society. Forgive them, for they know not what to do. Labels only bring confusion. Labels such as Christian, Jew, Hindu, Buddhist, Mohammedan, American, German, English, Chinese, etc. True religion is above nationalities, above creeds. It is the way to the realization of the supreme, the way to peace and happiness. We must transcend all these things, and only when we transcend these things do we have world peace, prosperity, and so for the individual. The individual seeks security, but does the individual get security? You can only have security in the whole, not in the part. It's utterly impossible. When we all become truly religious, in the true sense of the word, then only will there be peace in the soul, peace in the world. Then only will we understand ourselves and others. Unity can only come through right thinking, and in no other way. We will have that inward wisdom and peace and love of the Master himself. I am the way, I am the light of the world. How true these words are to us now. In Mark 7, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees for their tradition. In verse 5 it states, then the Pharisees and the scribes put this question to him. Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders? Why do they take their food with common hands? He said to them, yes, it is about you hypocrites indeed that Isaiah prophesied. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. Vain is their worship of me, for the doctrines they teach are but human precepts. He was showing that all the doctrines they were doing was nothing else but ritual, human precepts. You shall not do this, you shall not do that. You must wash your hands before you eat your food. In Isaiah 29, verse 13, it states, since this people draws near to me with their mouth, says the Eternal, honoring me with their lips, for their hearts are far removed. Since their religion is a mockery, a mere tradition learned by rote, this is what Jesus was referring to. Is it not the same today? Is there any difference? Mark 7, 8. 10. You drop what God commands and hold to human tradition. This is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. Yes, forsooth, he added, you set aside what God commands so as to maintain your own tradition. Here Jesus was showing us the unreality of tradition, an outer show, which meant so much to the scribes and Pharisees, was useless in themselves. In fact, it was honoring with their lips while their hearts were far away from God. Is this not the same today? We have pomp, ceremony, tradition, lip service, while antagonisms and separation is rife, then all our prayers become hypocritical. If you go to church and pray to God who is whole and complete, while you have antagonisms in your mind, hatred against your brother, then your prayers are hypocritical and you are hypocrites. Nothing more, nothing less. That's what the Master said, and that's his words. Mark 7:14-21. Then he recalled the crowd to him, said to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can defile him by entering him. It is what comes from him that defiles him. If anyone has ears to hear, let him listen to this. How true that is. So nothing outside us of us couldn't affect us unless we allow it to do so. And when he went indoors, away from the crowd, the disciples asked him the meaning of the parabolic saying, and he said to them, so you do not understand either. Do you not see how nothing outside a man can defile him by entering him? It does not enter his heart, but his belly, and passes from that to the drain. Thus he pronounced all food clean. No, he said, it is what comes from a man, that is what defiles him. From within, from the heart of man, the designs of evil come. Man's thought feeling. What is your thought feeling? If your thought feeling is the product of selfishness, jealousy, antagonisms, or is your thought feeling the result of truth, of the only one, you will know then which one rules you. Within is the Spirit of God, the only living expression. Yes, the voice comes from the Spirit. Nothing outside can enter the man, can destroy the Spirit. Nothing can destroy the Christ in you or me. They could not kill that which they could not see. Here Jesus shows that right thinking goes above and beyond all creeds and traditions. Right thinking is freedom, while conditioned thinking is oppression. Therefore, can you discern in your own minds if you are conditioning yourselves by your thought feeling? What is in your mind heart? You will be conditioned by that which is in your mind heart by your thought feeling. Then is to examine clearly, to discern the self and the ways of the self, understand the self, leads to freedom. People are trained what to think, Is not our civilization based upon conformity? Our thought is directed by those who themselves are bound to nationalistic ideas, to separation in religion, in politics. Are we not subject to propaganda to make us think the way our leaders want us to think? Thus we are led like sheep to the slaughter. If you then can think for yourselves, you will transcend all these things, and you will see them, all these things, as separate and distinct. They have got nothing to do with the Christ, which is the only reality in you and me. If we have any idea that we are separate and distinct because we ourselves are different from different nations, from different families, you are living in separation. When you enter the Spirit of God, then you know that there is but wholeness, completeness, and nothing but completeness. Propaganda is not conducive to right thinking. It tells us what to think. And here Jesus, with his right thinking, shows the way. Jesus was showing us that spirit was the only reality in man, and through self-awareness we discover our conditioned thought. We discover that we are merely copying another, that we have acquired a habit of thinking which is erroneous and disastrous to ourselves and others. You have to discover that for yourselves, as I discovered it for myself. I have no enemies because I don't believe in enemies. It's only he who believes in an enemy as enemies. Transcend that state of separation and you enter into the Christ that is born in every human soul, the only begotten Son of the Father. In John 8:12-17, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. He will enjoy the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying to yourself. Your evidence is not valid. Jesus replied to them, so I testify to myself, my evidence is valid, because I know where I have come from and where I am going to. Whereas you do not know where I have come from or where I am going to. You judge by the outside. I judge no one. And so I do judge. My judgment is true, because I am not by myself. There is myself and the Father who sent me. So we see then those who live on that outside rim of separation and distinction does not know the Father of Christ Jesus, because they live in separation. He knew where he came from, eternal life, and he was going to eternal life, and he was in eternal life. And no one could separate him from the eternal life, because the Father was eternal life. And eternal life was with him. There is myself and the Father who sent me, because I am not by myself. I am not by myself either. You are not by yourself either. The very livingness, the very awareness of your living proves the fact that the Father is with you. Eternal life. Jesus was aware of himself. He had the source of reality within him. Father and I are one. But he could not have reached this state unless he first discovered the truth for himself. Let the innest among you throw the first stone. Anyone who is innocent would not cast a stone at another. And those who knew they were not innocent would neither do so. No one has condemned you, neither do I. Jesus could not condemn, for that would be against all the laws of the Spirit. The Spirit of God could not condemn, for the Spirit, being perfect, could only see perfection. In this state, you will see that there was no separation in the love of God, because God does not love one and hate another. Many days his love could not stand. The parable of the prodigal son proves that. The Spirit of God could not condemn. Yes, Jesus was the Spirit of God. He knew he was the Spirit of God, just as I know I am the Spirit of God. And when you become aware of this truth also, it will not be an idea in your mind, or an image, or a belief, or an intellectual belief, or intellectual idea, but a living reality. I am the peace in the world. He who knows me shall also have peace in the world. My peace dwells among you. You are my disciples. I have come again to make you aware of this truth. My peace will remain. The Spirit of God could not condemn, for the Spirit, being perfect, could only see perfection. Acts 7:51, stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ear, you are always resisting the Holy Spirit. As with your Father, so with you, resisting the Holy Spirit. Why? Resisting the Holy Spirit because of separation, of belief, antagonism. Thus, when we are free, we see all things in their proper perspective. The relative world and the real. There is no confusion in the mind that is truly discerns all things and has awareness of the Spirit of God within. He who has sent me is at my side. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. John 8:29. Benediction. I am that I am. I sang my song on the many branches of my tree of life. My song of life was echoed in the green leaves of the souls who fed upon me. In my garden, through centuries of time, sleeping souls awaken unto me. In my eternal concert, my rhythm stirs the hearts waiting to hear my voice, calling all to come into my cosmic freedom. I have heard thy voice in my soul, O beloved one. Now I am